The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world. To take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches, along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Bret Hart is a heel? Are you kidding me? This is Tom Healy, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jeffrey Ryan. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
They may not see us, buddy, but you and me in the same room recording this one. It's a rare occasion for us, so this is exciting. Absolutely.
Well, and I guess let's just hit everyone with it. This is a first time in the history of The Payoff. No guest needed. So we've gotten some requests of some awesome classic matches like the one we're going to cover today, and we wanted to cover them. And so we're going to try something a little bit different. If you like it, let us know. If it sucks, let us know, I guess. I don't know. But we're going to do our best and we're going to have some fun with it. But we are going to talk about the build of this match. Jeff and I are sitting here together in the same room. We're going to watch the match together and discuss it. And we got a whole bunch of items to cover. And then we're going to talk about the aftermath to this match and what we thought of it and give our payoff scores. So just like our normal shows, a little bit different. I think it's going to be really fun. We'll see, right?
I hope that, you know, I know we have this list of matches that like people have just sent to us. And so, you know, trying to find guests for it and the right guest, we want to make sure we have it. And so we figure, hey, you know what? We're going to be together for our shoot jobs. Let's sit and talk about it anyways.
Well, and the big thing is it's WrestleMania season. And I feel like we need to cover a heck of a lot of WrestleMania matches between now and then. I don't know if you're like me, but every year around WrestleMania, I basically do the same thing, which is I start watching some of the old ones. I start going down, like, you know, the rabbit hole of former WrestleMania classics and typically watch the same ones over and over again, try to watch some new stuff. Sometimes when I'm working from home, I'll just click a WrestleMania and play the whole thing. So I love WrestleMania season. It's kind of once we get through the Royal Rumble, I try to watch as much of this stuff as I can. And it's always fun to watch some of the same classics and discover some new ones. But now this year, we actually have a podcast, which is pretty awesome. So we're going to do some deep dives and some WrestleMania classics, and I guess this is probably one of the best ones to start with, so this can be pretty exciting. And as always, make sure to hit us up, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Payoff Pod. On Twitter, it's at Payoff Tom, and for Jeff, it's at Payoff Jeff. We're on there. Hit us up, engage with us, talk about us, give us 5 stars, ask us questions, tell us we suck, correct our mistakes, whatever you want to do. We love it. Keep it up. It's great. And just a quick reminder, as always, we're not here to talk about the current product. We're going to give you some fresh, interesting information on these matches. And we're going to try to have a really good time while we do it and make your time at the gym or drive to work or sitting at the office a little more enjoyable. So thanks, as always, for supporting The Payoff and for bringing us into wherever it is that you're listening to the show. Jeff, quick rundown on how we do things, and we will still stick with the same format even though we don't have a guest, but talk through what we do and then we'll get into this.
Yeah, always exciting because as Michael Cole, we don't talk about the current product, but you know, Michael Cole reminding us and everybody else this previously at Royal Rumble, we are on the road now. Like, it is time, we are there. And so a couple shows between now and then, but it's gonna come pretty quick here. So we are on the road to WrestleMania, but the road for our show, you know, it's same thing every week, as all of you know, know, we give you that deep dive into a match every Monday, and we have those three parts. We know you love them. So the build, the payoff, the aftermath. We talk what happened before the match. We talk about the match itself, and then, of course, kind of what happened after the match. So this is a great one. Historical for so many reasons, and just kind of what it did for the, like, the wrestling industry and all that good stuff. So we're going to talk through that. And then, of course, after that, we got a few write-ups, just some notes and things like that. And then, of course, our score. Can't, you know, got to do that, of course. Tom and I sitting here, so hopefully a lively debate between the two of us. I know our notes are separate more than most weeks, and so this should be exciting to see what we got. So all kinds of good stuff. So we'll jump right in until we start playing the match here. But, Tom, why did you want to talk about this match?
Dude, it's so historic. I mean, it's the classic visual of Austin with the blood. It's, you know, in a lot of ways, the beginning of the big time Steve Austin babyface push. And then the thing that intrigues me the most about this match is the double turn. I mean, it really hadn't been done that much or ever since. I mean, to that level where, I mean, yeah, you know, we'll get more into it, but it's just, it's so historic. So I'm excited about it for that reason. What about you?
Yeah, I know. I think it's probably one of, if not the most iconic image in wrestling history. But, you know, even now we still talk about the Crimson Mask and comparing it to, you know, what we see nowadays. And so it's just kind of living in that moment again and talking about that match or this match because of that. Like, I think you kind of have to. And then I think you and I, like you said a little bit, the double turn, I think you and I have referenced that before. But I grew up a big Bret Hart fan. I was always, you know, all about Bret Hart. Even, you know, when I was younger, didn't know what the screw job was or any of that stuff. And, you know, we'll touch on that a little bit today too. But, you know, just exciting that it's hard. You know, when it, you know, recently, you know, you see that the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. For a lot of us, these two are on Mount Rushmore. So kind of exciting to see where this one can go and kind of what happens. So, Tom, I'll kick it back to you before the build here.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, it's the build. It's WrestleMania 13, Rosemont Horizon in Rosemont, Illinois, just outside Chicago. 18,000 in attendance, but Jeff, interestingly enough, it's the first WrestleMania not to sell out. So, you know, kind of an interesting time period in the business, if you will. We'll quickly, and we'll talk a lot more about this show as we watch the match, but I'll quickly talk about, you know, the card for this thing. Not recognized as one of the best WrestleManias of all time, but ironically has, you know, one of the biggest and best WrestleMania matches of all time. So, you know, at a time where I'd say the roster was a bit thin, we have the Headbangers kicking off the show, defeating Doug Furness and Phil LaFon, if you remember them, the Godwins, which was, of course, Hog and Pig, and then the New Blackjacks in a four-way tag match. Then we had the IC champion Rocky Maivia defeating the Sultan. So that was still kind of the tail end of Rocky Maivia as the white meat baby face, big hair, blue trunks. Then Triple H defeating Goldust. We had Owen Hart and the British Bulldog, who are the tag champs, beating Mankind and Vader by countout. Then, of course, the reason we're here, Bret Hart and Steve Austin in the submission match. Between the main event, we had Ahmed Johnson, the Legion of Doom, defeating the Nation of Domination. I don't know how well you remember that match, Jeff, but it was a pretty good match. They did a street fight, a Chicago street fight. There were some pretty good spots. I remember there being a powerbomb through a table. And remember, you just didn't see a lot of that back then from the WWF. So I remember just thinking, man, this is a pretty stiff, fun match. And it holds up well. I watched it last year before WrestleMania. I'm like, that was a pretty good match. And then the main event, Undertaker and Sid. So we'll get into this more when we're watching the match, but just kind of a weird card. And it's like you had some really talented guys there, but the matchups just weren't all that great outside of course, our reason for being here today. So we'll talk more about that as we go. $800,000 gate, 0.77 buy rate. Like I said, there wasn't a sellout for this show. lot more that I want to cover. We'll do it during the match. But Jeff, quickly walk us through from a storyline standpoint how we ended up at Bret Hart versus Steve Austin in a submission match.
Yeah, the main feud really heading into this Mania, it was Undertaker and Psycho Sid. The two of them really battling over the World Heavyweight Championship. It was actually a kind of fatal four or final four match that the Undertaker became the number one contender. And he that is the reason him winning that match is how he got booked to take on Sid during this show. It kind of interesting though that there was a little bit of back and forth that included Bret Hart and Steve Austin, that Sid actually defended his title against Bret. It was a steel cage match, and that, you know, that was, it kind of was going into Mania as well too, but Austin interfered in that one. Undertaker actually interfered as well too, because, you know, he wanted to wrestle for the title, and that, you know, Austin, he had helped Hart because, you know, he wanted to make sure that he had his scheduled match. And so it was just a really interesting back and forth here. And so because of this Hart-Sid match, since Sid won, even though there were some shenanigans in it, that the match remained the same. The Taker would take on Sid, Austin would take on Hart, and that's how the WrestleMania card would remain. It was really like the King of the Ring 1996, where that was Steve Austin's big win, where him and Hart kind of feuded a little bit. That Hart was not wrestling at that time, but he was still taunting Bret. They were definitely setting up some storyline things here, kind of working toward a build for what they could do. Pretty much to the point where Austin just pestered him enough to get a match from him. And so they decided, it was actually, it was Survivor Series a little bit previous to this, that Austin beat Hart, actually. And so Hart beat Austin. Flip that around. I'm getting ahead of myself here. So at the Survivor Series, Hart beat Austin, but their rivalry kept going. They were actually the final two people then after that in the 1997 Royal Rumble. And so kind of started back in the King of the Ring. We got to Survivor Series. Now we're at the Rumble that time of year. And so it was kind of a weird, funky end here. It's one I recommend you kind of go back and watch, that Hart eliminated Austin, but his kind of elimination, you know, of shenanigans, as always, was considered unofficial because the refs didn't see it. They were busy kind of working with some other people. So not like today where, you know, you kind of have to pay attention to. So they didn't see it. So not officially eliminated at that point. So, at this point, we kind of got, like I said, to the point where there was a elimination match for the WWF Heavyweight Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, which Hart won that. And so kind of weird how this played out, though, because Hart won this title in this elimination match. It was literally the next night that Psycho Sid beat Hart and to win the championship. So just kind of very odd how this all played out. There was also a spot where Austin Hart had the sharpshooter locked in, but then actually hit Hart with a chair. So, you know, they just kind of kept, and that was what led to Sid then power bombing Bret Hart to get the win. And so take a steel chair, we all know it's going to slow you down a little bit, and that's exactly what happened. So,
and do you know why all this happened?
Why?
Because Shawn Michaels lost his smile.
That's right. So there it is. So it's always Shawn Michaels. We got,
it always goes back to Shawn Michaels.
We got Shawn Michaels.
We'll talk more about that during the match.
So, so of course, we get to this point where we'd had some interference over the last really 6 to 10 months, where they were bothering each other and kind of pestering each other. And then we get this Hart and Austin booked into the submission match at WrestleMania. And so kind of playing that, it was a kind of a quick match, though, where they kind of really set the story up a little bit more, where they did, it was, you know, the kind of with, kind of Undertaker playing a part. And so Hart, he ended up, what it was a steel cage match. Hart, he almost won the match, but it was actually the Undertaker who interfered this time and got Sid the win. And so a lot of back and forth, a lot of things happening. I say not hot-shotting the belt necessarily, but a lot of, you know, uncertainty of where the belt was going to go and kind of how it was going to play out. And so a lot of – but we get to this point, though, where we've got – Bret Hart versus Steve Austin in this submission match. And then the main event was still going to be Undertaker Sid, but that's a conversation for another day. And so today, though, we've got this submission match. So, Tom, what other thoughts do you have?
I got some other thoughts, but we're going to hit the match and get started, and we can jump into that. So thanks, as always, for walking us through what happened there, for giving us the build. And we're going to jump into the match here in a minute. And again, no guests necessary this week. It's just Jeff and I. We hope you enjoy it. For those of you that want to watch the match live with us, we're at the 1 hour and 24 mark of this event. And again, it's WrestleMania 13 on the WWE Network. Bret Hart about to give his glasses away, and Steve Austin is going to be coming out here. So for those of you who want to watch live, when you hear the ding, 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 we're at 124. With that being said, it's time for...
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
All right, here we are, Bret Hart in the ring. Jeff, this is our first time watching a match together and talking about it. Are you excited?
Hey, this is crazy. Think about, like, you and I, as much as we talk about wrestling, I don't think you and I have ever actually, well, outside of a live event, like, you and I have not just kind of sat and watched a match. So we're getting right into it, as you can see.
Hot start, everybody standing up, beating each other up,
barely
nice and stiff.
Yes, and so... And this was one, keep in mind, like, Bret was the face here. You got Austin as the heel and kind of him playing that up. And so, but out hot, though, with Austin right out of the gate, just these strong, just strong chops, strong hits, everything.
So, Jeff, have you ever heard the story of how Steve Austin found out in real life that he was wrestling in a submission match at WrestleMania 13?
Tell me the story.
He's told this a few times on his podcast or various times. He had no idea. He was sitting at home rehabbing his knee, and, you know, I think it was Vince that was on commentary. I was like, WrestleMania 13 in a submission match, and he's sitting there going, what the hell? I don't have submission moves. I'm not a submission wrestler. So there was no storyline reason for the submission match other than they just decided that was going to be the match. I mean, Bret Hart wasn't a submission guy. He had the sharpshooter. Austin, I mean, I guess – kind of did the million-dollar dream at one point, but he didn't really have submissions that he ever used in his career before or after this. But I guess it's just turned into a street fight. And that's what's interesting about this show is, you know, these two beat the shit out of each other all over the arena. The next match was as Lou Albano's there in the and Tony Atlas.
Sitting there, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And then Shamrock, the referee, which I'm sure we'll get to here in a little bit. But what's interesting about this is, you know, you basically had two just street fights in a row, which was great for the crowd because this match was obviously fantastic. And then the match before the main event, the street fight that we were talking about earlier, that was really good. But then you had Undertaker and Sid, who maybe not the best contrast of style per se, but this was a great match. And, you know, these Chicago fans, I mean, this is, Steve Austin said many times, some other guys have too, it's the best building to work because of the acoustics, and a lot of just really great moments of happened in this arena, including this match.
Well, and you touched on it. It's something we haven't talked about yet. Just kind of getting rolling with this is we have a special guest referee for this match. And so, of course, the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And so it was interesting. It was, you know, he was – that was how he was billed, was the most dangerous man or the world's most dangerous man. But this is one of those where he didn't have a ton of – like, he didn't really barely have any WWF experience at this point. Like, and a lot of it is he's kind of been interviewed since and has, you know, kind of told the story of, like, they – even he felt like this was a turning point for WWF in regards to him bringing that MMA kind of really just prowess to WWF and giving it a little bit more than people had seen in the history.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that they used Ken Shamrock well during his run?
Well, I think if looking at it this, like if they had just brought him in for a special referee, like whatever, no big deal. Ken Shamrock, like he did a lot. Like we forget about that. He's one that we can kind of, you know, on a future episode, kind of talk about a little bit more. But he really, like, I mean, just look at him, like he's jacked more than Brett and Austin walking around right there. So I fully understand.
Still is. He's still a big boy, man.
He's still out there doing it. And so it's hard to say, but I mean, he right away, like after this match, like he started getting into it with Triple H. He started going after The Rock and the Nation of Domination. Like he really did a lot of different things here. And so, and then even kind of he was in the King of the Ring in 1998. And so, it's just all kinds of stuff. And so he was the Corporation as well too. Yep. You know, he had the heel kind of run as well too. And so, but even I had kind of forgotten when we were looking into this, like he did some time in New Japan. He was at TNA for a little bit, like, you know, and he's still out there. And, you know, he showed up at most recently at some Impact tapings.
Well, and you know what's cool, too, is I think that his ankle lock was the first time anyone ever tapped out.
Yep.
Because remember, they had never really done, like, tap-out submissions before. So I thought that was a really cool thing and a little bit different. I loved his ankle lock. I thought it was great. I just, you know, it's tough, right? It's like World's Dangerous Man, but you look at the way, like, they book Brock now. And they probably had an opportunity to book him like that. I mean, I think that, again, it's 2020 hindsight. It's all these years later. But, you know, I almost wonder, I mean, because he was just so jacked in this match and throughout his run. I'm like, you know, they should have maybe made him like given him a good like 6 months of just destroying people. But they pretty quickly just turned him into a wrestler. Right. And that's one of the mistakes that you see over and over again is they try to make everyone into a WWF, WWE wrestler who can wrestle 25 minute matches. It's like Goldberg's run. Right. They brought him in for a year and it sucked. Why? Because they were trying to have him wrestle 25 minute matches with Triple H. Dude, it's just that's not everyone's style. And so Shamrock, it's like, man, if they would have just done less is more and just had him destroy people for 6 months and either made him a badass good guy or a heel or whatever, I think that would have been a lot more interesting than, okay, well, this guy can legitimately destroy anyone. And he was in UFC at a time where they didn't even have weight classes, but, oh, he's going to wrestle a 20-minute match against Shawn Michaels. Like, give me a break. Come on.
Well, I knew they pushed him to the moon immediately. So they obviously had big plans for him. And so, as you see now, we're kind of back in the ring at this point too, for those of you that are, you know, may or may not be watching along with us right now in the match. I will say one of the interesting things in just kind of watching this match is it was something that's standing out to me is the kind of the setup of the arena. I miss the old, and New Japan still does it, but the old slat guardrails that, you know, literally no protection whatsoever. Like nowadays, you know, WWE ring, it's literally surrounded by padding on the all of it. And so they're able to do a few more moves where they kind of have that. But you see this even like Ring of Honor and a lot of shows now, like they still have these hard metal guardrails. Like those aren't works or like worked. Like those are the true metal guardrails that they just had in the arena. And so it kind of standing out to me, I do kind of miss, like I get why it is nowadays, but I miss like, even we got the multicolored ropes. We've got there's not everything is in an LED screen. Like it's just a pure wrestling, you know, ring.
Well, this was a fun era, too, because it's like the production values were good, right? The action's fast paced, but it was still a little bit, I'd say, less polished than it is today. I mean, these guys just work in a good, stiff match, man, versus some of the stuff that just, you know, we don't have to beat the dead horse on this, but just feels so overproduced. This was an interesting show because let me just read some of the talent that's on this show, right? I mean, you have The Rock, you have Triple H, you have Goldust, Owen Hart, British Bulldog, Mankind, Vader, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Legion of Doom, Undertaker, Sid, Shawn Michaels obviously out with an injury. There's a lot of talent, but not necessarily a great WrestleMania, just a great match. I mean, after this, you know, a decent brawl and then kind of a boring, lousy main event. And The Undertaker, it wasn't like there was major build. He'd already held the title, so it wasn't even like it was that interesting or big of a thing for him to be champion. I don't know. Just, you know, you look at the talent on this card and you'd like to rebook it and move some stuff around. I know like the Rocks and the Triple H's were early on in their career, but I got to think there were better ways to arrange this card. You know, you talked about the hot shotting the titles. Let's remember why that happened. This whole this whole pay-per-view was supposed to be built around the rematch of Shawn and Bret, right? Mm-hmm. With Bret getting his title back. And then Shawn loses title, or I'm sorry, loses Smile. So he gives up the title without losing to anyone, let alone giving Bret back his win. So then, you know, you had all that hot shot in the titles. Now, for those of you that don't remember, haven't seen it, well, that final four match that Jeff mentioned, that In Your House match, was a awesome match. So go back and watch that, stiff as hell. It was probably the last really good match that Vader was part of, so that's kind of a fun thing to go back and watch. But it was a great main event, just fantastic. But then of course, you know, Bret would lose the title the next night to Sid because of Austin's interference. You know, it just felt odd. I mean, Sid all of a sudden champion again, and then, you know, you had this whole thing with Austin. And I don't know, it was just, again, the build to this really wasn't that great. And it was just obviously them scrambling because Shawn just blew up all the WrestleMania plans.
Yeah, and anymore, you know, we hear, like, God only knows, like, how off or how far out they're trying to plan WrestleMania things. We can see now Bret's grabbing the bell. That sequence that we saw just before this, I always find it, because Bret, I always remember, like, growing up, like, look out, Fink, he's going for the chairs, that, like, I remember Bret more than so many other wrestlers, and he just did it with Austin, like, working over the body part. Like, it was such a big part of who his character was and what he was about. Like, he's now spent, like, six, seven minutes working on Austin's leg. It's the storytelling, and he's got his leg wrapped up in the chair right now.
Dude, that leg spot right there that he's doing, like, I don't care who you are. Like, we've seen it recently. Even there was someone just recently with the neck thing that they were teasing, but and now Austin's moving it, and boom, stiff chair shot right in the back of the neck. He brought in the bell too. Dude, I love the bell because it's just like, there's no way to hit someone with that bell that wouldn't just, like, hurt or be awkward. It's just such a great weapon.
You don't see it anymore. And even you see, like, you know, you don't see it now, and it's just a huge chair shot here.
I mean, as hard as you possibly can.
Right.
But to your point, you know, and Bret Hart always prides himself on the fact he never wrestled the same match twice.
Yep.
Right? And what he means by that is, like, this match is unlike anything he ever did, and, you know, and that's awesome. But, yeah, he tells the story, works the body part, and you get lost in it. Like, you're just like, oh, God, his knee. I mean, he can barely move around, and I wonder if he's working for the sharpshooter for the submission match. And, yep. You know, I don't care how long you've been watching this, how old you are. Again, you get lost in the story. Breaking Bad's not real either, but you get caught up in the story of it and you feel emotions. And that's what's great about this match.
Well, and it was funny because even I was fortunate enough that my girlfriend came over the other night and was watching Royal Rumble with me. And she was even asking, and she kind of caught the tail end of the women's Rumble. And she was asked, like, why do you watch this? Like, what? And I was like, it's the story, like the storytelling of it, like it's the different characters, like, and I was telling her, like, some of the arcs that, you know, people like Triple H have had from, like, we called him Triple H when we were kind of doing like the build. It was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, like, and those are two very different, distinct characters. So that's something that we have to remember. And so, like, the kids upset for Bret, like, always a good shot right there. But it's one of those where I was telling her, like, this is our, really, it's our soap opera, it's our drama, it's what we look for. And I recommend, like, Max Landis, who has a really good video on, like, the history of Triple H and his evolution.
Oh, like, look at this submission move. This looks terrible. I totally forgot about this. I mean, it's kind of an okay arm bar, but it just looks so awkward.
Not something they taught in the Heart Dungeon, that's for sure. And so, yeah, and a point, Austin is not bleeding yet. I think that's one thing to point out, that at this point, like, we've been through the match for a little bit here. So, yeah, we're going on over 10 minutes, and so it's not really happening. And so, just kind of interesting. Yeah, but watching him kind of lock. But I most recently, I think, like, Seth was doing a good job. Oh, there is Stu Hart.
Yeah, Stu Hart in attendance.
And so it was interesting, like, you know, him or Seth was, like, he would play up the being hurt. And, like, that was always a big part of his story. But then you see it online. You hear people talk about it all the time. Like, there's just no selling anymore. It's just – it's so difficult. I think you see it a lot more in New Japan.
For as big of a classic as this is, I mean, obviously it still holds up. I mean, I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat and I've seen this match 20 times, but there haven't been any high spots. There haven't been any tables. It's just a good, solid street fight, and it hasn't stopped, right? I mean, it's just been continuous action. But again, I mean, you know, not to bang on the current product, but, like, there's not a lot happening in this match per se. but it's great, and the fans are into it. Also, an interesting observation, there's no screen here. I mean, I guess they probably had the they had something above the ring, I would assume, like a hockey basketball scoreboard, but otherwise there's nowhere to, I mean, this is it, man. It's just everyone facing the center of the ring and watching the match, which is kind of cool. Now it's like, go to WrestleMania now, and it's like 80% of the people are watching on the damn screen. They're not even watching in the ring.
Well, and I think that's one of those, like, it's just the evolution of it, because this is an arena. Like, it's a smaller arena, and so, like, now when we think about, like, these things, like, anything less than like a football stadium, like, you know, it's only a matter of time before they end up like in the big house in Ann Arbor or something, and trying to get, you know, 100,000 people packed in there again, or trying to, you know, continuously trying to break records and all these other things. And so just seeing that, you know, it's just very interesting how that plays. I think you brought up a good point too here about, like, we have not seen a high spot yet. There's been some action through the crowds, like, they're, you know, they're out kind of outside the ring right now. Look at, like, the fans yelling at Austin, just so good. You're flipping them off, but you know, kind of all those different things. Like, we have those spots where you don't need it necessarily. Like, it's not a bad thing, but these guys are putting on a clinic inside and outside the ring without that too.
Boom!
Look out! That was such an odd spot. Like, oh.
Oh, probably stiff too. It was great. Man, you know, I still wonder, you know, what would have happened if we got Shawn and Brett at WrestleMania 13? I would love to have seen it. We really never got the rematch. You can't count Survivor Series, because that was just such a shit show that would happen later in this year with the screw job. So you never really got what I believe should have been a trilogy of matches, right? I mean, you get Brett, you get Shawn, and then, you know, I mean, here, I'll fantasy book it. Give me the rubber match as a ladder match, right, for the world title.
We've got the first sign of a ton of blood. I mean, and so he is dripping all over the place.
As they call it in the business, he got a gusher, I believe, is what they call it.
And so he is.
They're saying it happened when he hit the guardrail.
Right there, he hit the guardrail.
I mean, he did hit it with his face, but, I mean, obviously.
So it's one. So you understand, like, there is now, like, spots of blood on the mat around the ring, and he is dripping.
And keep in mind, this was during a no blading era. I mean, they did not want blood. Obviously, the story that's been told many times by both guys is, look, they just decided we need blood in this match, and they did it, and Vince chewed him out after the match, and, you know, at the end of the day, he's probably glad they did it, because it was such a classic, iconic thing. But, dude, I mean, he not only bled, but, I mean, he really bled, and again, this, they just weren't doing blood at this time. I mean, it just wasn't part of what they were doing.
I think seeing it, like, right now as it's happening again, it does. I think, like, the best comparison I have, it would have been the Randy Orton spot against Brock, when Brock just laid into him with the kind of elbows. And you've heard the kind of behind the scenes story where even, like, Jericho thought that he was actually, like, legitimately giving him the receipts, if you will, and hitting him and dropping the elbows and the forearms on him, and it legitimately split him open, because I remember it was just like, it was disgusting. Disgusting, almost, like the pool of blood, and then him, like, picking his head up, and it just, like, a solid stream of blood. And so it's always weird too, because it doesn't, like, he doesn't look that bad right now. It looks like it's just kind of like, you know, he is bloody, but it's not, for whatever reason, the heel in the ring, and it's not as bad as it was a minute ago. But you can start, he just bounced his head off the mat, and there's a giant red spot now. So it's definitely happening. It's definitely, you know, only getting worse as we keep going here. And I, again, Brett going right back to the leg.
You know, what's funny is before we started recording this, we were talking. I totally got my timeline mixed up. I forget how long of a build it was for Austin to finally get the title at WrestleMania 14. I mean, this is obviously, I mean, you see how hot he is right now, and obviously would be after this match. It's a full year before he comes champion. And then previous to that, I mean, you had the King of the Ring, you had some of this stuff. So, I mean, it was about 18 plus months before almost 2 years before Steve Austin became Steve Austin, the world champion, the Texas Rattlesnake, the Austin era has begun. We don't get that anymore, you know, and I hate bagging on the current product, but dude, you don't get a 2 year build where a guy is red hot. Now it's, oh, the guy's hot, let's give him the title, or he cools off before they can give him the title. I mean, the timing of this was just, I mean, it was just awesome. I mean, so you had this, like, almost 2 year build of, you know, Austin being a badass heel, then him kind of getting over the fans, then this match, and then you still had 12 more months. And again, the broken neck was still to come before we'd get the world title, but it still wouldn't have been until WrestleMania 14 that the Austin era begun. So that really didn't slow anything down. He really wasn't even out that long. So just kind of fun to think about that you had 2 years of this prior to him getting the title, which means it meant something on the biggest stage to be crowned champion.
We got a pretty bloody ring at this point, Matt. The mat.
I mean, super bloody.
Yeah, it's getting really dark.
And Shamrock just not really a big part of the match. He's just kind of calling it down the middle, huh?
No, he really isn't.
And he was a great ref. He really legitimized it. It was great.
Definitely compared to the 14 match and Mike Tyson as the referee.
Yeah, sometimes they look so confused. You know, they're in the wrong area and stuff. I mean, he's like a great ref. I mean, look at him. He's on his knees, just waiting for it. And, you know.
Austin flipping the birds. There we go on the fans, going crazy again for it, which is just really cool. Like Shamrock checking on him a little bit.
I mean, if you lost this amount of blood, you'd be fainted and we'd have to take you to the hospital.
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah, absolutely. But these guys, well, and you figure too, like his Austin, he said even recently, like he would have like 3, 4, 5 beers in the ring. Like when they like the, you know, the Austin era and the Austin 316, like, he would get a pretty solid buzz because he was pounding those beers. Like I think it's suplex. And so kind of dealing with that. And so it's interesting, but I, you know, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the aftermath, like he shouldn't have had that. Oh yeah. There's the first real shot of the blood just like everywhere. And so, yeah, I mean, his neck was broke. Like he shouldn't have ever been, he shouldn't have made it to that WrestleMania 14 match, but like sure as hell there he was. And so,
well, one of the things that some people may not remember if you're a little bit younger or you just didn't see it is, you know, and Austin's still doing it a little bit, but he was a hell of a worker. I mean, he was a technical worker. He could do a lot of different, oh man, here comes a great spot, but you forget how good of a worker he was. I mean, he just did a superplex and stuff. Obviously, after he broke a neck later in his career, both knees shot, it changed. But, I mean, at this point, he was still doing some great stuff.
And that was the first really high spot of the match.
So now we got the extension cord. I still don't understand how he didn't really jack himself up here.
Yeah, it just kind of how it's for those that are not watching, like Austin has taken one of the extension cords that was ringside, wrapped it around Hart's neck, who's kind of outside the ropes.
Yeah, kind of a weak spot because he didn't really hit him good with the bell, but that's okay.
No, and then to get
I'm nitpicking a little bit here.
Yeah, we can nitpick. We're armchairing it. And so, yeah, and so here goes Brett. Here comes the shot right here. People trying to lock in the sharpshooter against Austin. He's going to get him flipped over.
So what's better, sharpshooter or scorpion deathlock?
I got to go with the sharpshooter. So
me too, all day.
The deep red pile or
here it like is.
Pool of blood. And here's just the absolute iconic shot.
Dude, Shamrock adds so much to it. I mean, he makes it – Shamrock makes the match better.
And there it is.
First of many here. But Shamrock makes this match better. He could have just as easily screwed it up.
Yep. Well, you got to figure like the Brett and Austin, because Shamrock's not a ref. And so, like, in order to, like, the referees nowadays, and I'm sure, like, the training and, like, you know, like, everybody knows what it means if the X goes up. You know, they throw on gloves on, like, a random
show. We're too damn smart now. That's the problem,
right,
dude.
Well, and they throw gloves on, like, you start looking for blood. They're like, oh, boy, like, who's, like, you know, what's happening and what's going on here? And so, Austin can try to push him. Oh, man, just so much blood.
This is my fistful. Yeah, right here. Down on his teeth.
Dripping from his nose, yeah. Yeah, just crazy, yeah.
And I mean, imagine this. Okay, but here's a great question. Imagine this without blood.
Right.
Is it a 5-star match? Probably not. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just hard to imagine it without that.
And that's what I think.
And he breaks the sharpshooter. Like, sort of. Like,
Most recently, like, the Dusty Rhodes fight, or Dustin Rhodes fight with AEW, where same thing, like, had just an absolute crimson match. Like,
if you do it once in a while, do you remember the era? And I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was, like, early 2000s. Dude, blade job, every main event.
Yeah. You could spot them. They like, you know, nowadays, like going back and watching that stuff now, they didn't feel like they were going to have to be hiding it 20 years later where people had high def to see it. Yeah. Austin looks dead right now at this point. I would be legitimately concerned that he's not. Yep. And so that's it. There's Shamrock kind of pulling him off. Yep.
Boom.
And so that's it. So. And so, of course, as we will talk about.
Austin has passed out, eyes shut, blood all over himself.
But passed out, but who did not tap out? Austin did not.
So how many times in wrestling can you say the guy that lost came out looking stronger?
Right.
That's the thing that's fascinating about this match. Austin lost, and he's a megastar because he lost.
Yep.
And he lost in a submission match.
And he still hasn't moved.
He's unconscious.
He's still selling that he is just done for. And again,
Brett, like, you know, the turn coming, like, it's just crazy. And so, yeah, I was saying, like, the two of them had to trust each other a lot in the ring with, like, just kind of what they were doing and how, like, the moves were going to go, because Shamrock doesn't necessarily know what to look for, like a standard referee would. And so I missed all the camera flashes. I do miss that nowadays. You don't get that anymore.
All right, and real quick, I want to take a break. Hacksaw, take us into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, so aftermath. We're still watching the match, and we're going to talk about it as we are. And look, obviously, we're going to see, you know, Brett kind of get this heel turn going. Austin's moving around a little bit because Brett's going after the knee. This is the immediate aftermath to this match. It's obviously, you know, the classic double turn. And we don't have a lot of double turns in the history of wrestling, but this is, I mean, this is just incredible. They pulled it off.
So this is the first. So there's the Shamrock suplex.
Shamrock tosses him. Brett looks, I mean, look, all of a sudden Brett's just a chicken shit heel, right? I mean, that's how good Brett is. I mean, he just all of a sudden, some could argue he was a chicken shit heel his entire career, but
it's interesting too how easily Shamrock just suplexed him. Like, and now Shamrock getting the crowd pumped up.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well then that's another thing that's lost in all this is now you have a new star.
Yep.
Now you have Ken Shamrock as a star.
And so he was signed at this point. So Brett's
total heel here.
Booed to the high heavens. Like, you can't hear it on the show, but he is at, like, getting booed out of the arena at this point because he does not want to engage with Shamrock, does not want to fight Shamrock. And so, yeah, just being, look at him, like,
slapping fans away, flips a fan off. I mean, he's a heel. And he's a great heel.
You don't even see that much anymore.
I mean, right? Now, you look at this, you're like, this is the best heel in the business, right there.
I think I saw an F-bomb toward a kid right there, too. Like,
and Austin, I mean, obviously, Austin's a made man now, biggest face in the company.
And still covered in the blood. And it's something to point out that, like, he's still bleeding pretty heavily, actually, at this point, like, which is just incredible to see. But here comes a referee getting a stun. Not Ken Shamrock. Not a great sell either. But Austin, remembering his knee is still, like, terrible, so does a great job of selling his knee is still hurt. So the ref, not Shamrock, that tried to hurt him now. You've got Austin giving him the stunner, trying to get out of the ring, just doing a great job selling the knee, doing what he should be doing. And so, but the fans now clapping for him. I mean,
they're all standing on their feet. Now you have the biggest heel and the biggest baby face in your company because of this match, and you launched the career of Ken Shamrock, who, you know, obviously had a good run in the company. It's incredible. It's one of those how do we follow this, right? Like, it's like the Hogan Rock match where Jericho and Triple H were like, oh shit, right? Like, we have to follow this. I mean, this was it, right? You know, Taker and Sid are sitting in the back like, we're screwed. So, all right, storyline standpoint, give us high level. What are some things that happened? And then let's give our payoff scores on this.
Yeah, so of course, as you can see, Austin kind of limping away here. The crowd, we can't hear it, but we know, like, chanting his name is well too, and kind of walking out of the arena now. They're walking up the ramp and to get out of there now. Still selling the leg too, which is great. So as we said though, this was the double turn. Like, Austin, you know, that he was now more of a baby face, and so he had that going for him. And so he did get some rematches against Brett here. It was actually In Your House 14, which was Revenge of Taker. He got a number one spot. There was also some it was In Your House 15. It was A Cold Day in Hell. It was a street fight as well too. So these guys just had a couple different opportunities where they were kind of trying to fight each other and go at each other. The big one, of course, to talk about here and kind of the lead up to all this was it was SummerSlam. It was Austin and Owen Hart. They were facing each other. It was actually Owen Hart's Intercontinental title on the line at this point. And there was, of course, the stipulation, because this was the time that these things were happening, where Austin would have to kiss Hart's ass if he lost the match. So, of course, can't forget that. So, but this was the fabled botched tombstone, or, you know, really just, yeah, tombstone pile driver that Austin, and you go back and watch the video, that Austin's head was exposed a little bit. He wasn't high enough up on Owen and got his spine really compressed.
I mean, it's one of the most brutal things you'll see in wrestling.
Yeah. And so, it's really kind of crazy to see because he did break his neck. There was also some paralysis as well too for Austin, like in the moment. Crazy to think that somehow Austin had the ability though to realize that, like,
you know, a heart, you know, both of them, like Hart pinned Austin, but it was just crazy how it played out because Austin was barely moving. You could tell something's immediately wrong. And so it's just one of those where, you know, he had to be led to the back with the referees. And so it's one of those, like, I say watch it. I don't encourage you to watch it, but it's one for, like, the sake of wrestling history, it's one that you do need to watch. Now, it was sad because after this, though, the injury, though, Austin did have to relinquish. He had the Intercontinental belt. He had to relinquish that as well as the tag belt. Had to relinquish that as well, too. So, and of course, now we're getting into this time period where we will say the controversial leaving of Brett for WCW.
Brett screwed Brett.
And so really at this time, Michaels is back, but you're getting into now where Austin and Michaels are really the two top stars. Rocky hadn't really broken out at this point. So you don't have that. So it's one of those things where, you know, kind of how that played out, but that led us as to, we talked about a little bit, and I'm sure in a future episode, we'll talk about it more, but the Mike Tyson getting involved with, you know, allegedly getting involved with D-Generation X, and of course leading us up to that WrestleMania 14 match with Austin and Shawn Michaels. And so, but we'll save that for kind of another day. That's of course a great story to tell. So, Tom, any thoughts on that before we get into the reviews and the scores?
Dude, we could spend hours talking about this whole era. I mean, you know, this 97 Austin, Michaels, Brett, Taker. It's just a really awesome run. And we're just talking about some of the high level stuff. I mean, you start getting into the weeds of some of the stuff they did on Raw. It was really, really good. Cause it was this weird, like, work shoot. Brett was really pissed off in real life and you heard it on the screen, and him and Michaels didn't like each other. It's just a really fun era because you didn't know what was real and what wasn't. And turns out a lot of it was real. So, with that, you know, let's get into our payoff score. You want to go first? You want me to?
I'll go first because I'll just say real quick.
Yes.
So the write-ups and reviews. So we're not, like, the Pro Wrestling Torch gave this one 4.75 stars.
Okay.
This one, I think this is one of the few that we've talked to on this one where the Wrestling Observer actually gave it 5 stars.
God, don't quote me on this. Twitter can call me out if I'm wrong. I believe this was the last WWF Dave Meltzer 5-star match until CM Punk, John Cena, Money in the Bank in this very building. So yeah, that's how much he liked this match and how long it was before anything came close to it. I'll put you on the spot right now. Which match do you think was better, this one or the Punk Cena match?
Probably, if I had to pick, like, Punk Cena, actually.
Absolutely.
So
that was one of my favorite matches of all time.
So the other thing here, and then I'll get into my score.
Yeah.
It said there was, and they do polls. For those that read those old newsletter, they do a poll. This was actually the best match of the evening, winning it. No other match even received a vote. And so the, you know, main event, nothing. This was not the main event. There were still 2 matches after this one, but the only kind of write up I wanted, it was an incredible brawl from bell to bell with psychology and timing, the likes of which you'll only see when the best go against each other. This is one we'll remember for a long time. 5 stars.
I'll give him credit for recognizing that immediately. It's easy to look back now, like you and I, and be like, oh, great match. But I mean, he knew that at the moment, probably wrote that within 24 hours of the match. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, of course, our scores, for those of you know, Tom and I just throw a score on it, 1 to 10. We tend to take everything, like, we have the ability of hindsight, so we're able to look back and kind of see some of these things, but just kind of how we would score it based on all these things.
And yeah, and it's match, it's crowd, it's storyline, it's build, it's aftermath, history, everything, right?
So I said I would go first on this one. I will give this
very
one,
curious.
I'm gonna go high. I'm gonna give it a 9. Not too high, because I think that there was still, while I get the technical, like, there wasn't a ton of technical work. And like you said, it was not two submission masters showing their craft. Like, Austin's not a submission wrestler, plain and simple. And so, but that doesn't mean that they didn't tell a story. And I've talked before about how, you know, I'm all for the story. That's what I want to see. I want the story told in the ring. That, you know, you can always cut promos, and there might be some lead up on Raw or SmackDown or whatever it might be. But it's one of the things I respect New Japan for, is I think, you know, an hour-long match and telling a story over, you know, maybe 2-3 different times they have to fight. I think that this match told just in the ring, like, looking at it in its microcosm, told a great story. So I'm going to go with a 9.
Completely something we do not discuss in advance.
Yep.
Jeff, I am 2 out of 9. I am at a 9. It's not a 10. Let me give you the con first here. I think this match is slightly overrated. I think that in the folklore of wrestling, it's, oh, it was incredible. It's a really good brawl, but it's not perfect. I'd argue it's not even 5 stars, but again, I'm giving it a 9. Now, what I love about it, look, obviously the visual, the way it ended, it was booked, it made both men stronger. You got an incredible heel, incredible babyface out of it. It made Austin a made man. So the double turn, super, super tough to pull off, or else they would do it every year, every 6 months. So just incredible. But again, I got it at a 9. And again, the only thing I'll say negative is it's not as perfect and great of a match as you may remember, but I love the historical relevance to all of it.
Good stuff. So, Tom, any other final thoughts on any of it?
Though? No, close us out. Did you enjoy doing this together here live? No guest.
Look at you and me, man, just talking wrestling.
You like? Yeah, I think it was great.
It's like you and I texting each other every other day anyways.
I know, so it's, I know.
Like, so, Tom, we talk a lot about wrestling. So, of course, have to call out like our two people that we discussed on the show this week. Bret Hart, you can find him on Twitter. He's at Bret Hart. And then, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He is at Steve Austin BSR for his Broken Skull Ranch. So that's at Steve Austin BSR. So make sure to kind of check them both out. Austin, of course, tweeting a lot, always active, things like that. So, you know, take the time to do that. So, of course, that reminder, we didn't say it at the top of the show, but we'll close out with it, of course. So subscribe to The Payoff. Give us those 5 stars. I saw some reviews just the other day that fans were worried we weren't going to come back for the new year. We are back, though. So to who wrote that write-up, don't worry. We are back. We are doing this. Glad you enjoy the show.
Yeah, sorry that the holidays and taking a break are more important than pro wrestling.
Sometimes,
dude, I can't do this 52 weeks a year. I can do it about 48 to 50.
We're not as good as WWE, so that's
yes.
Okay.
But they're now cutting the schedule back.
They are cutting their schedule back.
Thank God it's about time.
Fewer house shows, which is great. So share that. So, Tom, I want to take us home here, get us out of here for the day.
Yeah, as always, great match, great show. Hope you enjoyed, and thank you for joining us on The Payoff.